This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
I've been preparing for this all my life.
Here's Porter on Harden, taking him to school.
What a great play by Jayshon Tate.
KJ Martin climbed Boban Mountain.
Team on at 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
And you've seen tonight that we fought together, we stayed together, and it's about damn time, man.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The Houston Rockets impressing in their summer league debut, toppling the Cleveland Cavaliers by a final score of 84-76 behind 23 electric points from Jalen Green, a 15-15 double-double from Alperen Şengün. All five Houston Rockets starters scoring in double figures. Great overall game. Cannot wait to talk about all of it. What's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, the best and only daily podcast covering your Houston Rockets. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and partner at Apollo Media. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, as well as at Apollo HOU. And if you enjoy what we do here at Locked On Rockets, do me a huge favor. Hit the subscribe button. Talking is hard. Good thing I don't do it for a living. Subscribe button at our brand new YouTube channel, as well as wherever you listen to your podcast, Spotify, Apple, Google, the brand new Odyssey app. We would sincerely appreciate it. What a stellar summer league debut for the Houston Rockets, right? I can't remember the last time that I was excited about summer league as a Rockets fan. And then two, Jalen Green is the truth. Watching him ball out in this game was incredible. Things a little, like, I don't want to say like a little, I mean, maybe a little tentative at the start, but it's summer league. It's the first time they've all played together. Things were a little shaky. And that's kind of how these summer league games kind of, you know, start off, right? The very first one, you know, these guys are, you know, getting used to playing with each other for the first time. But man, did Jalen Green have a stellar performance in this one. 23 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 9 of 18 shooting, 4 of 9 shooting from behind the arc. And we're going to get into the flurry that he had at the top of the third quarter, the specifics of his game, and then what was touted as, you know, a contest between Jalen Green and Evan Mobley almost turned into a contest between Alperen Şengün and Evan Mobley. Alperen Şengün having a 15-15 double-double in this one. 7 of those 15 rebounds were offensive rebounds. Şengün finishing the night, again, 15 points. Just 3 of 10 shooting overall, which, you know, you wish that would turn out a little bit better. Miss some bunnies here and there. But 9 of 14 at the charity stripe. And the fact that we found out that Şengün whispers to the basketball at the free throw line, which during the game, we're all scratching our heads wondering what the hell he's saying to the basketball. What could he possibly be, you know, whispering to the basketball gods as he's, you know, getting ready to take his free throws? Turns out it's a Turkish prayer. So we found that out, and via his Instagram, he said he's not ready to posted a caption on his Instagram that said it's a trade secret. As to what he's whispering to the basketball. But it turns out it's a Turkish prayer. He just doesn't want to give away the specific prayer or the specific words to it. But that's, I thought that was pretty cool. It's a unique little free throw ritual, and it worked. And he got to the line plenty of times to demonstrate that ability. And it turns out, I forget who shared this via Twitter, but somebody at UNLV in Las Vegas actually shared that fans were counting to 10 with Alperen Şengün at the free throw line. So it'll be interesting now. The Rockets have their own guy who might have some chance in NBA stadiums, depending on how long he takes on his free throw routine. But this was a stellar game, really, you know, top to bottom. I really felt like the five starters for the Houston Rockets all had really bright spots in their game. It wasn't a perfect game by any stretch of the imagination. There was definitely some areas that I want to critique on some of these guys, some of the things that I'm going to be looking forward to, you know, the adjustments moving forward, things to improve moving forward out of these guys. But I think the standout for me, even more so than Jalen Green's impressive offensive package, was Alperen Şengün and his ability, one, his ability to really attack the glass on both sides of the floor. He was so instrumental in securing extra possessions for the Rockets. Again, mentioned the 7 offensive rebounds, very active. He processes the game you know, at an elite level. Like you can already tell at his age, he just understands the game. He's reading and reacting to things so quickly. And it kind of makes up for, you know, what would be his lack of athleticism, right? That's why he's able to still secure so many rebounds. He boxes out, he does his work early. He's looking, he's fighting around players, you know, when he's trying to attack the offensive glass, getting, you know, kind of slipping past guys, getting into position early, that kind of thing. But defensively, that was kind of the standout for me with Alperen Şengün. He had 4 blocks in this game. Let me just read you their stat lines really quick. If I read you these 2 stat lines, who would between Evan Mobley and Alperen Şengün, who do you think, you know, which one do you think would have belonged to which guy? 12 points, 5 rebounds, no assists, 1 steal, 3 blocks, 5 turnovers, 6 of 17 shooting. That's the first stat line. Second stat line, 15 points, 15 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 4 blocks, 1 turnover, 3 of 10 shooting, but 9 of 14 shooting at the free throw line. Yeah. Alperen Şengün had a pretty stellar game. And again, defensively is where he stood out. And when I got the chance to ask Will Weaver about it, he was very congratulatory in his praise for Alperen Şengün.
Last question on Zoom, Jackson Gatlin.
Hey, Coach. Can you speak a little bit about Alperen Şengün's defensive play in this one? I think he had some standout moments on that end of the court.
Absolutely. It's all we could talk about as a coaching staff on the bench was how he closed speed. It looked like he's out of the play, and he got back in plays and ended up blocking some shots with his forearm, which some of that almost certainly is due to the conversation earlier about what his level of play was like playing at Ustikas and playing in Europe at a high level. I think also just a credit to his natural physical and mental tools as well. So we're excited to try to unleash that in some other place.
So ignoring the Rockets PR camera getting tipped over at the end there, the sentiment from Rockets assistant coach Will Weaver, who is the Summer League head coach, remains in that Alperen Şengün had a really impressive game. And again, what really stood out about him, not just the offensive package, the skill set there, which we're definitely going to dive into, but defensively, you know, really making himself known. But I want to talk about the man of the hour, Jalen Green, and how impressive his debut was as a Houston Rocket in this Summer League game. And we're going to get there after a quick message from our friends over at Stat Hero, because did you know that 85% of people who play daily fantasy sports lose? Is that really surprising? The game is basically rigged against you. You're playing against thousands of other lineups, not to mention experts who basically try to do this for a living, right? They've got more tools and more time. You don't stand a chance. So we're introducing Stat Hero. It's the first ever daily fantasy sports book that puts the player in control of winning, and it puts winning within reach. Here's how it works. Stat Hero shows you their lineups and dares you to beat them. It's you versus the house, and it's basically just a head-to-head fantasy matchup. Go check them out. Go to stathero.com/lockedon. Sign up free right now, and you can get 3 times back on your very first play. That's 300%. That's a 300% match. That's unheard of on your very first play. You name the stakes, winner take all. You have the advantage. Stat Hero is showing you their lineups ahead of time. Nobody else does that. You're in total control. Stat Hero is the daily fantasy sports book the way that it was meant to be, one-on-one. Play Stat Hero now and change the odds. That's stathero.com/lockedon. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Continuing our discussion on the Rockets Summer League performance. Now, this Summer League game, and I don't think I mentioned it in segment one, Armani Brooks, unfortunately, not available for this Summer League game, sat out due to health and safety protocols. Bit upsetting because I was looking forward to Armani filling it up in Summer League. Always great to see Armani light it up on the basketball floor. But unavailable in this one. We don't have an update yet either on whether or not he's going to be unavailable for the entirety of Summer League, you know, whether he's just missing this game, might be contact tracing, whatever it is. We don't have an update, unfortunately. And so we'll find out more ahead of Tuesday night's game against the Pistons. But with that, let's focus on Jalen Green, because Jalen Green is the truth. Like, just watching him out there, he plays with so much confidence, right? And I think that's just like you see some guys out there when they're hooping and they just don't have that confidence in themselves, right? They're doubting their moves. They're not playing within the flow of the game. Things aren't happening, you know, I guess just subconsciously or whatever. And Jalen Green's just out there having a grand old time. He is. And he's very much in control of whatever he's doing at any given moment on the court. And it's very reminiscent of, you know, one James Harden, watching the way that he, you know, impacts the game, you know, places his will on the game and how he wants things to happen. And really, Jalen Green, we saw almost his entire bag on display in this one. We saw a little bit of the mid-range. We saw the step backs. We saw the three-point shooting. We saw the driving to the rim, the finishing through contact, finishing with both hands. We saw just really the complete package out of Jalen Green in this one. And I think that the moment for me, the flurry that he had at the top of the third quarter, so Rockets coming out of halftime, trailing the Cavaliers, what was it, score of 41-40 at halftime. And then the Rockets came out in the top of the third quarter and had a flurry. Jalen Green had a pair of back-to-back triples in the third quarter and then followed it up with a mid-range jumper just a couple minutes later. So a quick 8 points for Jalen Green at the top of the third quarter. I believe he had 21 points and we weren't even halfway through the third frame, which is just entirely impressive. And then kind of, you know, took the foot off the gas pedal maybe a little bit near the tail end of the game. Only two shot attempts in the fourth quarter, unfortunately missed both of them, but could have easily finished this game, you know, around the 25, 27, maybe even might have hit the 30-point mark, but, you know, was definitely trying to get his teammates involved a little bit further down the line. Everybody else kind of stepping up, you know, really sharing the wealth offensively. Jalen could have walked out there and, you know, taken 25, 30 shot attempts, and I don't think anybody would have been upset, but for him to walk away only taking 18 shot attempts and hitting 9 of them, having just, again, a really productive evening, a really efficient night, 23 points on 18 shots, you know, thought it was a really solid performance from him. But I want to focus on what makes him so elite, right? And it's that, we've talked about it before, it's the ability to create separation. It's that lightning quick first step that he has. And that was very much on display in this one, both the times where he drove the ball into the teeth of the defense and finished at the rim, as well as his ability to create for himself with that step back, right? He has that quick first step, and then is able to kind of get the defender off balance, get them kind of, you know, backpedaling momentarily as it looks like he's getting ready to take off towards the rim. And then just that quick sidestep into his step back three-pointer. It's so fluid and he makes it look so easy and so natural. And the fact that he's already got kind of this like go-to move at this age, and this level of confidence that when he pulls the trigger on that shot, that it's going to go in every single time. It's, you know, impressive. It's his first game, and I'm going to run out of words so quickly to talk about Jalen Green. Now, I will say that one of my observations from this, one of my takeaways on Jalen Green is he is not a point guard. Like, he's not going to be the guy bringing the ball up the court consistently every possession. He's not going to be the guy, you know, orchestrating the offense. It seems like he was very content to allow Khyri Thomas, Josh Christopher, those guys at times to bring the ball up to initiate things, so that he can, you know, get things going by running off of some, you know, some actual sets, coming off of some screens and whatnot, as other guys are kind of initiating the offense. And that kind of stands out because it makes me feel a little bit better about him, you know, playing alongside guys like John Wall, like Kevin Porter Jr., in more of that true two guard esque role, as opposed to like a pseudo two guard like James Harden, who was essentially the Rockets' de facto primary playmaker and point guard, you know, for the majority of his tenure here in Houston, at least once the Mike D'Antoni era started, putting the ball in James Harden's hands and expecting everything to run through him. It felt a little bit more Devin Booker-esque at times, where, you know, other guys were setting Jalen Green up for success in this one. So that was kind of my first observation. And that's not to say that he can't handle the basketball. Clearly he's got the skills there. But I think that it's good that, you know, it feels like he's capable of operating without the ball in his hands and kind of allowing others to set him up. So he can do both. And I think we saw both on display. So that was nice to see. And then my other one was, him operating out of the pick and roll. And that was, if I'm walking away from this, first off, I'm giving Jalen Green an absolute like A plus in this game, or at least an A, right? If we're talking like letter grades. But if there was one area that I wanted to see him, you know, improve upon, or I'm hoping to see him improve upon and develop and, you know, just really work on this aspect of his game, is he can clearly get his whenever he wants. And he's, you know, already very impressive in isolation and working in one-on-one situations, breaking down a defender individually and, you know, either getting to his patented step back or breaking the defender down off the dribble and getting to the rim and finishing there or creating for a teammate, right? He can do that. What I want to see him get better at, and this was the area that it really felt like he wasn't taking advantage of it much in the first half, and then it felt like things started to get a little bit more fluid, a little bit better in the second half, was operating out of pick and roll. Right. And what I mean by that is, you know, there were plenty of times where the screen gets set for Jalen and he uses the screen or tries to use it and doesn't create an advantage out of it. Right. And if all you're doing is letting this, you know, having the screener set the screen and then, you know, you're not being quick and decisive about getting into your move, or the screener isn't rolling hard to the basket and Jalen is subsequently also making his move at the same time to create indecision within the defense, then you're not creating that opportunity. You're not creating that advantage for your team. And so a lot of times in that first half, we saw the screen be set. Jalen kind of, you know, would use the screen for a split second, but wasn't getting into his moves decisively, deciding, okay, I'm going to attack, I'm going to step back, I'm going to, you know, pass, I'm going to do whatever. And defender would just, you know, either fight over the screen, go into the screen, whatever, and be right there back with Jalen, or they'd switch and, you know, and again, no advantage. So I would like to see him be a little bit more effective in pick and roll. And I think we saw that a little bit in the second half. Specifically, there was one where KJ Martin kind of, he set a very quick screen and it was almost like he slipped it. And Jalen then, you know, started driving in with his left hand, you know, into the paint, and made a quick like 1-2 dribble and had the two defenders focused on him, and then threw a perfect bounce pass between the two defenders right on the money for KJ Martin, who was then able to elevate and get a wide open dunk at the rim. And so it's moments like that, right? It's opportunities like that that Jalen Green is going to have so many of at the NBA level, because when you are that much of a threat to score the basketball, you have all this gravity surrounding you, right? Where defenses are going to be geared to trying to stop Jalen Green. And how can you stop Jalen Green when you've got all these weapons around Jalen Green, right? So it's up to him to learn how to utilize those weapons around him to not only be the bona fide scorer that we know that he's going to be at the NBA level, because that's without a question, he is going to be at some point a 25 points per game scorer, the type of guy who, you know, someday is probably going to lead the NBA in scoring, you know, might have, you know, a season averaging 30 plus at some point, right? That kind of guy. He is that type of player already. So the areas of his game that he needs to work on are getting others involved offensively, working on his passing so that he doesn't get shut down, and so that he has an outlet when defenses are double or even triple teaming him down the line, working on that element of his game. And I think he's got it, right? It's just about building it up and continuing to develop and improve it. I do want to say the defense from Jalen Green, right there, you know, that was a big kind of question mark coming in, is what was he going to look like defensively? And, you know, he wasn't anything to, you know, write home about and be super stoked about, but defensively, I thought he held his own, right? He was active. He was engaged, you know, didn't take any plays off, you know, just, and I think the announcers too, at one point, had a really, really great point about this, is just, you know, they were talking about players and you know, there's kind of three types of players. There's players who like the game of basketball, there's players who love the game of basketball, and there's players who live the game of basketball. And the announcer saying that, you know, they believe Jalen Green is the type of player who lives the game of basketball, right? He just, you see it in his smile when he's talking about the game, when he's talking about himself, how much he wants to improve. And that's part of what sold me on Jalen Green, right? Leading up to the draft and everything, and you know, how I transitioned from Evan Mobley to Jalen Green was his love of the game. He's just, it's intoxicating the way that he talks about basketball and talks about wanting to be the best and how he believes he truly is the best. And there are going to be some serious sparks flying on Tuesday night. And Rockets fans are going to be insufferable if the Rockets walk away from that one, A, with a win, And B, if Jalen Green outperforms Cade Cunningham in that Rockets Pistons game, Rockets fans are going to be just absolutely mind-numbingly just insufferable on social media. It's going to be incredible. I'm going to love every minute of it because Jalen Green outperformed Evan Mobley in this one. And I mean, look, bigs take longer at the NBA level to develop. Evan Mobley showed some flashes in this one. But if I had told you that in a game with Evan Mobley playing, the Rockets would have had the best big man on the floor, would you have been shocked? So with that, I do want to talk about Alperen Şengün as well as Josh Christopher coming up in just a moment. But first, we've got a message from our friends over at Built Bar. Because look, if you've never had a protein bar that's actually like delicious, you've got to check out Built Bar. They've got so many amazing flavors available. Raspberry, mint chocolate brownie, salted caramel, cookies and cream, my personal favorite, coconut brownie chunk. Cannot go wrong with any of these Built Bars. They're so good. The best part about them, right? Again, they're delicious because they're basically candy bars jam-packed with protein. Like, that's how I like to market them because that's what they are. Every single bar, low-cal, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. Great if you're on a keto diet. Great if you're trying to lose weight. Great if you're, you know, just maybe trying to just maybe just stay where you're at, right? You just need a little protein bar, a couple protein bars. I grab a couple of them with me when I'm walking out the door in the morning sometimes, that kind of thing. Check them out. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your very next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at builtbar.com. And we got one more message from our friends over at betonline.ag because look, BetOnline is the fastest and the easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. You got baseball season going on strong right now. They've also got you covered for UFC, MMA, you name it. They've got it over at BetOnline. So before the next pitch, head over there, use promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Use that promo code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, for a 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Before I get into, because I do want to focus on Alperen Şengün and Josh Christopher in this final segment. Before I get there, I want to give a couple quick shout outs to the other Rockets on the roster in Khyri Thomas and KJ Martin, the crusty old man of the Summer League crew who, you know, has the experience at the NBA level. Obviously was a rookie last season, but then, you know, played in the G League, played up at the NBA level. And KJ, first off, the monster block on Evan Mobley. Love that, right? Love that for KJ Martin. Love the fact that right before the game, I was manifesting, can't wait to see KJ Martin banish Evan Mobley to the Shadow Realm. And he did, which is like the third or fourth time that I've like called KJ Martin blocking a 7-footer. And he's like then delivered like hours later. So shout out KJ for keeping me a man of my word when I promised these things on social media and then he delivers on them. So incredible to see there. KJ Martin had himself a really solid all-around game, 17 points, 7 of 15 shooting, 3 of 8 from behind the three-point line, only 3 rebounds, which is a bit of an anomaly for KJ Martin, who turned himself into a really, really solid rebounder this past season. But that's because Alperen Şengün was absorbing everything that came anywhere near him in the rebounding department. And then Khyri Thomas, who offensively not the best overall game, hit his first three-pointer and then went 0 of 5 the rest of the way, finished with 10 points, did have 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal, just 2 of 10 overall shooting, was 5 of 6 at the free throw line, so it was aggressive in that capacity. But I want to focus on Alperen Şengün and Josh Christopher here in this segment. So Şengün talked about his defense earlier, but offensively, right, that's where, you know, we've discussed him before, and that's where he's really going to probably hang his hat early in his NBA career, is as a big, that old school style big who can really operate down on the low block, just, you know, dump the ball down low, let him operate. And my excitement level for Şengün comes away from the idea of Steven Silas utilizing him out of the high post, especially as a passer. And there was this moment that I want to highlight from this game where they dump the ball down to Şengün, who's posting up down low, and Şengün faces up Evan Mobley, and Jalen Green cuts behind him around the baseline as they're on the right side of the basket, and Şengün has the audacity to throw a pass through the five hole of Evan Mobley. And had Jalen Green like been expecting that pass, it would have been a wide open like dunk or layup on the other side of the basket for him. And it was such a beautiful pass. Like the idea of the pass was incredible. And unfortunately, it didn't turn into a bucket because I believe Jalen Green was ruled out of bounds, or the pass like slipped just past Jalen, something to that effect. Like it wound up not turning into points for the Rockets, wound up being a turnover. But the idea of the pass was beautiful, and it's moments like that that make me really think. One, I knew coming into this that Şengün's passing was pretty solid, and I really think that Steven Silas utilizing Alperen Şengün's passing is going to be, I don't want to say like a mainstay of this Rockets offense for years to come, but I think that Steven Silas is going to be able to unlock that ability of Şengün even further, utilizing him as a passer, utilizing him in some dribble handoff sets as well. And it's going to be really fun to see what Steven Silas does with a formal training camp, what he's going to be able to do with hopefully a healthy roster this season. Had to knock extra hard. My knuckles hurt now. Ow. Shouldn't have done that. Ow. Anyways, right. So, you know, Şengün's offensive package, both what he's able to do for himself and the passing for his teammates. I'm really interested to see what they're going to do there, because Jalen Green, I think, has shown some prowess as a cutter, and, you know, his ability to receive passes off of like, you know, backdoor cuts and things of that nature. And so this was just that moment where, even though it didn't translate to points, you can see the vision, right? You know, plays like that with Jalen Green, you know, operating off ball and cutting, using his speed, using that ridiculous first step to get open, and having guys, you know, quality passers like Şengün, like Christian Woods, whose passing was, you know, a bit underrated, not underrated, but just, you know, was developing over the course of last season. Kevin Porter Jr., Jayshon Tate, guys who are able to find each other as long as these cuts are actually happening, right? Looking for these little backdoor opportunities, you know, to easily score the basketball. So I wanted to highlight that, as well as just there was one more play from Şengün where caught the ball in the paint, started to make his move on Evan Mobley, you know, had a couple twirls, couple spins, goes up, Evan Mobley blocks him, sticks with it, gets the ball back, goes up again, pump fake, spins on a dime, right? Just so many spin moves out of Alperen Şengün. We need like a spin counter for Şengün and Jayshon Tate for when those guys like get into the paint. Like, how many spins and pivots and twists and turns are those guys going to do in a given night, in a given game, once they're playing together? Because that's what it was kind of reminiscent of for a minute. It made me think to all the times that we've seen Jayshon Tate, because I'll be damned, Jayshon's going to get to that left hand no matter what. And Şengün wasn't specifically trying to get to his left hand, but he did get Evan Mobley pump faked up in the air, drew the foul, didn't get the and one, unfortunately. But just seeing that level of footwork that he already has, right? Imagine getting Alperen Şengün in the gym with Hakeem Olajuwon for a little bit to build on this already impressive foundation that he has offensively. I'm really excited about the Rockets and the fact that they've got him on the roster. And we haven't even been able to watch Usman Garuba play. Still no word yet on whether or not he's going to actually make it to any of the Summer League games. He's on the Summer League roster, and I believe he is in Las Vegas, I think, last I checked, last I heard, or like working his way over there or something in that capacity. But hopefully we'll get to see at least a game or two of Usman Garuba with the Rockets Summer League crew. But with that, I do want to focus on Josh Christopher, who I'm impressed with, and I'm also kind of like, at the same time, not impressed with. And I'll share both sides of that. So I'll start with the impressive thing with him. Josh Christopher is relentless on defense. He plays with a turbo jet engine in him to where he is out there giving it 110% every moment that he's on the court. I mean, he is going. He was checking guys, you know, three-quarter court at times, you know, pressing the ball on the way up the floor, you know, picking up guys right at the half-court line, pressing them, you know, making them uncomfortable, creating extra opportunities for the Rockets, forcing turnovers. I was thoroughly impressed with his defense, right? Really getting into the chest of his defender, you know, and he's doing all this in a summer league game. Like, I mean, yes, it's, you know, these are, you know, rookies and they're excited to play and they're happy to be on their first NBA team. But, you know, this is summer league and he's going out there, you know, pressing like it's game seven of the NBA finals. Loved it. So that tenacious level of defense, right, is always going to earn you minutes at, you know, whatever level of play you're at. And I think there are plenty of guys who have shown that if you can be a lockdown one-on-one defender, or if you can show that you can be valuable on the defensive side of the ball and manage to do a few things correct offensively, you're going to find time at the NBA level. Even if you're not the best shooter, you know, you're still going to find time there. And may I introduce to you one David Nwaba, who Rockets fans should be intimately familiar with after last season. And I've been kind of sitting on this hill of, you know, Josh Christopher the wing instead of Josh Christopher the guard. And that's kind of where I'm at with this comp of Christopher to David Nwaba, is I think that Christopher's got a better overall like jumper game than David Nwaba does, right? He's got that pull-up jumper. You know, the outside shot definitely needs a little bit of work, but he's a bit more comfortable, I guess, with the ball in his hands. But I'm thinking about like just the ability to attack in transition, the defense, the body type. I mean, they're both about 6'4", 6'5". I think Christopher's only about 10 pounds lighter than David Nwaba, and he's a rookie. He's got that massive frame, right? Which is why I'm thinking, you know, envisioning him as more of a wing than I am a you know, a gigantic, brutal guard. I think it's also going to be easier for him to find minutes at the wing for this Houston Rockets team than it will be for him to find minutes at the guard spot potentially. So just some thoughts there, but then offensively is where there's some question marks, right? Just the shot selection, the decision-making at times offensively, a little questionable. Christopher finishing the game 5 of 15 overall shooting, 0 of 4 from behind the 3-point line, took some questionable shots here and there. Yeah, I'm going to be a little nice about it. Did finish with 13 points, 5 rebounds, and 4 assists. And I really think that's where he can, you know, make his impact felt, is as a guy who impacts the game in other ways besides his scoring, right? Obviously, when he gets out in transition and he gets going downhill, gets going, you know, north to south, he's a handful, right? And we saw that on display. I believe a couple of his made buckets were just easy transition opportunities where he saw the floor kind of opening up in front of him and he just took the ball the length of the court. Or specifically one where, you know, he was getting backed down by Evan Mobley, and he actually said, "No, you're not going to back me down." Stripped the ball from Evan Mobley, which was a great defensive performance. You know, snuck his hand in there, got the tip, stripped the ball from Evan Mobley, picked up the ball, went the length of the court, coast to coast, and then drew the foul at the other end. Right. So Christopher is going to be a solid, you know, an above average defensive player at the NBA level. It's about whether or not he can put it together offensively, and I guess unlearn some bad habits offensively, right? And I think that's going to be the gigantic question mark. I get some very J.R. Smith-esque vibes from him offensively, with some of the shot selection at times. So it'll be interesting to see whether or not he can kind of move past that part of the game and mature a little bit there. And it's still great to have a guy who can create his own shot, like the way that he can, right? Go off the dribble and either create for himself or create for a teammate. But I'd like to see him focus more so on attacking the rim as well as being a facilitator out of some of those situations. And I think that this could be an interesting opportunity for him. Of the Rockets rookies, I think he might be the guy who benefits largely from some time down in the G League, mainly because, again, there's such a roster crunch. Like, where are you going to get the available minutes for a guy like Josh Christopher on this Rockets roster, at least right now as presently constructed, with guys like John Wall and Eric Gordon still hanging around? I think that Josh Christopher could benefit, you know, mightily from being sent down to the G League and being given the opportunity to go down there and be a playmaker for them, right? To go down there and say, "Hey, we know you can get buckets, right? We saw you kind of get buckets. Let's not focus on that, right? Focus on getting others involved, see what you can do running an offense, really operating out of pick and roll, that kind of thing, and see if he can polish up that side of his game." Because I think the defense is going to be there, and that's going to get better, you know, as he's playing at the NBA level and working with the Rockets coaching staff. But shout out to my guy, Rafael Barlow, whose comp for Josh Christopher is actually another ASU guard who is not James Harden. It's not, that's not the comp, even though Josh Christopher probably wants it to be the comp. Lou Dort is actually Rafael Barlow's comp for Josh Christopher. And I kind of buy that. I kind of like it. I kind of see where he's going with that. They both got that kind of like, you know, strong guard build, you know, where they just can overpower you both offensively, defensively, kind of bully ball style. And I really think that that's a good model for Josh Christopher and how he can earn his minutes at the NBA level, right? Be a plus defender, play with that hustle, that tenacity on defense, and work your way into being a quality, like, know your niche, I guess, offensively, right? And I think that's the biggest question mark with Josh Christopher is he going to be able to accept his role offensively as a role player and not as the guy with the ball in his hands, right? The guy who's going to be creating opportunities for other guys, the guy who's going to be, you know, running the offense, the star of the team, because that's not his role anymore behind guys like Kevin Porter Jr., Jalen Green, Christian Wood, right? He needs to play his niche role as a role player, play above average to solid level defense, and then be ready for opportunities offensively, as well as he needs to work on that outside shot. That's definitely a big step forward for him. But again, thoroughly impressed with everybody who stepped up in the Rockets Summer League. It's going to be great to see them take on the Pistons Tuesday night. But we'll have another episode between now and the Pistons recap. But for today's episode, that is going to do it. As always, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. If you haven't yet, hit subscribe at our brand new YouTube channel. Hit subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast, Apple, Spotify, Google, brand new Odyssey app, wherever you listen to your podcast. We'd sincerely appreciate it. But for today's episode, thank you as always for watching, for listening, and we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.